always get the opportunity to have an actual prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, but that's our goal, and is to take these things before the Lord. We don't want to call it Wednesday night prayer and Bible study and not pray. Amen. Doesn't always work out that way. Next Wednesday, Brother Daniel will be with us, and we might mention some requests and have a prayer and give him plenty of time to preach. But as a rule, we'd love the opportunity to be able to take these things to the Lord as a church. Amen. And so as we're praying, I hope you're praying as well. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Brother Jeremy, I'm going to try to stay behind the pulpit. So see what happens. Amen. I want it, the recording to be good and clear, though, so I'll try to stay back here. Genesis chapter number 2. Right, and everything I'm preaching and teaching tonight, my wife and I practice, and we've discussed. Amen. Sometimes I teach these things, and she's not sitting in here, and I'm sure some of you are saying, "Yeah, right." Amen. But I'm thankful for my wife, and I did not say that I get her permission to teach what I'm teaching tonight. I didn't say that. I said we discuss it. Amen. That wasn't as funny, huh? All right, Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 18. If anybody gets mad tonight, I'm driving the Chevy out there. Say, which one? Pick one. Mine's not a Chevy. So. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to deal with the home again, and I'm still gleaning from the book by Dr. Tabb, but I'm just kind of pulling some things out of it and did my own notes. And Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. So first off, right off the bat, God said it's not good for a man to be alone. Amen. And he made us, so he knows that it's not good for us to be by ourselves. Amen. And so he goes on and says, I will make him an helpmeet. And so that means, men, that we need our wives. Some men might say, well, I don't need anything. Well, yes, you do. If you don't think you don't need anything, you're an idiot. Amen. And so God designed it that way. God has a purpose for the man. He's got a purpose for the woman. And if they're both fulfilling their purpose, then they'll have a home that pleases God and a home that honors God, a home that magnifies Christ. And man, a home that God can do something with and can bless. Most homes either have neither one of them doing their part or just one of them trying to do their part, and it's a mess. But the important thing is we're all individuals in here today. Even though if we're married, we become one, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. But we all have a free will. And a home, most homes, is two sinners living under one roof. That's what a home is. It's two sinners living under the same roof. How do two sinners living under the same roof get along? They both try to please the Lord. That's the only way it works. It will not work any other way. And so you say, well, it's not working because of her or because of him. And tonight I just want us to say, if it doesn't work, it won't be because of me. And it's not a self-righteous attitude. It's a, I'm going to please the Lord. And so, husbands, we need our wives. There's no way that I would be where I'm at today or anything that I'm doing if it wasn't for my wife. And I'm very thankful for her. There were things when we first got married that I did not know how to do. I didn't know how to balance a checkbook correctly. I had one. Amen. But when we first got married, I said, I'm the husband, I'm taking this thing over. And I had to go back with my tail between my legs and said, I messed up again. Would you please help me? Amen. Say, why? It took some discipline and stuff, and she helped me with some of that stuff. I mean, when I first got married, you know what that is? It's that's using some wisdom and saying, she's my helpmeet, I need her. Now, at the end of the day, she's not the one that is responsible for financial decisions. But sometimes she's the one that has to help with some of it. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. You want to keep driving in the ditch and take it over yourself and don't know what you're doing. Amen. She's a help meet. She's there to help you. And so I want to talk about this tonight for a few minutes. And I say talk because I'm going to try not to preach. There's a difference between preaching and teaching. And a wife's primary responsibility is to be an help meet for him. And I want to talk about this tonight, in imbalance in the home. An imbalance in the home. So her primary responsibility, and for those that have not been on Wednesday nights during the last 3 or 4 years, I preach on the home sometimes on Wednesday nights. And so I've kind of picked it up again tonight a little bit. So we dealt with the husbands for a long time, and we've dealt with the wives. And if I finish tonight, this will be the last one on the wives for now. Amen. Then we're going to go on to another subject within the home. So wife's primary responsibility is to be an helpmeet for him. And that's referring to her husband, not any other him. So you shouldn't have to say that. I know, but I need to say it. There are too many homes that are out of order. You look anywhere, look in the church. I used to say go to Walmart. I've given this illustration before. Don't find your wife. No, not that illustration. Sorry, wrong one. I used to say go to Walmart and watch the family. Watch the kids out of control. The husband get onto the children. The wife get onto the husband for getting onto the children. And then everybody submits to the woman. And I used to say go to Walmart to see that, but you don't have to go to Walmart to see that. You can go to church. In a lot of churches, you can go and see that. It's out of order. It's out of order. And she might say, well, what about my needs and what about what I want? The woman was created to be a help meet to her husband. Now, listen, I know there's times where that's abused and there's things that are not right. I understand that, but I'm talking about what God's purpose is for the home and for a wife, and that is to be a helpmeet for him. Real satisfaction can only be found in doing exactly what God has called you to do. And I'm not just talking about being a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a missionary or an evangelist or a job that you might have. I'm talking about what God created you to be and for you to do. That's when you'll find real satisfaction, is doing exactly what he wants you to do. Husband being the husband that you ought to be. Wife being the wife that you ought to be to please him. And so real satisfaction for a wife is when she is helping her husband serve God. Whatever that is. It's helping him in every way. So I want to look at some imbalances in the home for just a few minutes. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. There are several areas, I believe I've got 6 written down here, that are potential imbalances in the home. A wife, her primary responsibility is her husband, to be an help meet to him. That's her primary responsibility. And then you have other responsibilities in the home. Now, the first one I want to talk about tonight for a few minutes is homemaking. Homemaking. That is a responsibility of the wife in the home, is to make that home. But the primary responsibility is her husband, is to meet the needs of her husband. And, all right, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 14. And I understand that nothing that I say tonight is popular. The Bible's not popular. Christ isn't popular. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. All right, I did not make that up. So don't get mad at me right now. But that is God's will for a young lady. I mean, you read it in black and white. Okay? And all of a sudden, people are like, well, I can't believe you said that. I've had that happen before. Amen? Well, the Bible just said that. I'm not making this up. And so that is God's will for a young lady. I understand that sometimes a wife has to work outside the home. My wife did when we first got married, and we prayed about it and prayed about it, and we were into our second child, Elijah, being born, and God worked it out where she didn't have to no more. And she was able to stay home and do some of these things, and I'm thankful for it. And there's some that still have to do it, and I understand all that. But as long as you understand that your primary responsibility is your husband, and then a secondary responsibility is that house, not the job. Amen? That's something that has to be understood. And you say, well, I'm a second-class citizen if I stay at home and do it. No, you're not a second-class citizen. No, what you're doing is just as important as what your husband does by going to provide for your family. Not a second-class citizen. And she shouldn't be treated as one either. The other day, there was a couple talking about, this actually happened, this conversation, was trying to sell a car. And another man was there, and, let me go back a second. I'm not saying their names to protect the innocent, amen? I was in the conversation. I was one of them there. So we're sitting there. There's three men. There's a lady sitting there, husband and wife, and a man and myself. And this man is going on and on and on about what he did for his wife for Valentine's Day. I mean, he went all out. And the lady was sitting across going, oh, that was... And the husband looked at her and said, I just bought you a car. And she's like, is that going to be your answer for my birthday and Christmas and Valentine's next year? He goes, yes, 1 year calendar, that's going to be my answer. She's like, what about next year? He's going to say, I'm going to buy a floor mat for my floor mat. He was just joking. Man, y'all are tense tonight. He was just, he takes very good care of his wife. Trust me, he's very good to her. But he was joking about that. But you know what? Some people, their husbands treat their wives like a floor mat. Because she stays at home to take care of the kids, and he treats her as if her job is not that important. And he's very foolish for doing that. I try to stay home like maybe 2 times a year to try to homeschool my children and take care of them for a whole 1 day while my wife's gone. And 2 days a year is all I can handle. I'm very thankful for what God has put in my wife to take care of our home. Very thankful for it. Amen. And I'm reminded of that. And husbands, I would encourage you. Pastor Jack Wood one time got tired of the men grumbling about their kids and all that kind of stuff, and he put them in the nursery and let the ladies stay out. Amen? They got done and said, wife, I am so sorry. Because they had to keep the nursery for a couple services. Amen? God put that in a woman. Hey, thank the Lord for it. Amen? He did not put it in a woman to be the president of the country. Or to run a company. Amen? He put it in her to keep the home. And so we find here, and it says here, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. What's he talking about? If a wife is out of line when it comes to homemaking, then that's a chance for the adversary to get in that home. It's a chance for him to get in. Look at Titus chapter 2. This is the text verse for our ladies' meetings that we're going to start having monthly, the older women teaching the younger women. This is the text. I'm not going to preach all of it right now because it's going to be dealt with by the ladies teaching the ladies here very soon. Titus. We need to go to the book of Titus. I'm sorry. The book of Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 4 and 5. This is talking about the aged women up there in verse 3. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that's to be serious-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children. You say, I have to be taught that? Yes. The man is told to love his wife. How? As Christ loved the church, and just as much as he loves himself. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. God said, do you want me to give you an example of how much you should love your wife? Love her as much as you love yourself. And for most men, that's a whole lot, right? But that's what they're told. The women are told, you have to be taught to love your husband. You see, because the romantic notes and the flattering words, they don't last forever. And you have to be taught how to love him when he doesn't pick up his underwear. And when he doesn't put his shoes where they're supposed to go. Thanks for the help tonight. Amen. You have to be taught to love them. How can I love this man? Well, this is talking about a wife married to a husband. You say, well, I don't love him. So, you're his helpmeet. And you have to be taught to love him. You have to be taught to love your children. What do you mean taught to love my children? I mean, there's things that some young mothers need to learn that they need to tell their child no about. And there's some things that's okay for their children to do. It's not going to hurt them. And they have to be taught those things. You got to be taught to love. And I said I wasn't going to go over all that, so I'm not going to. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, only if you agree with what he says. Is that what your Bible says? No, it just says obedient to their own husbands. That's it. Why should we do all these? That the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm afraid there's so many homes today, Christian homes, where the word of God is a mockery and it's being blasphemed. Why? Because the home's out of order. Because the home is an absolute mess. Now, when it comes to, we're talking about imbalances, and I can already see that this is going to go into part two. There's some imbalances in the home, and the first one's, so when we talk about an imbalance in the home, and when we talk about homemaking, you say, what are you talking about, an imbalance? There are two extremes when it comes to homemaking. There is the immaculate clean. I mean, I'm talking about immaculate. I'm talking about museum quality clean. And then there's the indescribable catastrophe. These are two extremes. Brother Roman, will you put up my video real quick? I took a picture of somebody's house and I was just joking. I did not do that. Watch it. Okay. Rewind it. Y'all catch that? This is before I got married. Done. After I got married. All right, brother. Can anybody relate with that? I can. Good night. I use two pillows when I sleep. That's it. Not 15. Amen. All right. Well, I'm not saying that's a problem. That's what she likes. That's what she likes. So guess what? They're on our bed. That's dwelling with them according to knowledge. That's what that is. Amen. That's not what I'm talking about right now. But I'm talking about extremes. I'm talking about the husband can't sit on the couch because it might make a crease in a pillow. I'm talking about the husband regularly hears, don't sit there. Don't put your feet there. Don't walk there. Take your shoes off. It's real quiet in here. I'm talking about when he walks in the door, that's what he hears. Amen. It's one thing after another. I'm talking about immaculate. I'm talking about the husband comes home. He's been working all day, and he wants to spend time with his wife, and all he does is sit there and watch her running around the house, like dusting and cleaning and catching every little drop that falls. Now, a clean house is important, and that's a part of homekeeping, but when he comes home, he wants to spend time with his wife. Amen? He wants to. So if it didn't get completely done and you did the best you could, it's okay. My wife struggles with this, and she loves to serve. And when we're at home, she's always doing dishes. And I have to talk to her about these things sometimes and say, you know, this is just real world. She loves to. We'll be at somebody else's house. We're the visitor, and she's up doing dishes. Sarah, would you please come sit over here and talk with us? Amen. And so, you know, there's two sides of it. When he comes home and he's been gone all day and he wants attention, someone to talk to, someone to be with, and all those things, and there's two extremes here. If her life is revolved around this house, that looks like it came walked right out of a magazine, then her priorities are all out of line. But if it's when he comes home, she did the best she could, and if she can make the house look like that, when he comes home and she don't have to do nothing, and the attention goes to him, and she's not nagging him about where he puts his feet, amen, and comes in and says, you know what, I'm going to spend time with you. The dishes are there. I'll have a chance to do them when I'm done spending time with my husband. Amen? There has to be a balance. And then you have the other side of the coin where the husband can barely get the door open. And he has to shuffle through a path of clothes and junk and toys and mess. And he can't find a coffee cup. It's quiet again. He can't find a coffee cup. He can't find a glass to drink some water out of. Why? Because they're stacked a mile high. And she's still in her pajamas sitting on the couch playing on Facebook. Those are two extremes that will cause problems in a home and in a marriage. Husband gets home. He doesn't want to come home and just watch his wife run around the house cleaning every little thing all the way up till bedtime. He doesn't want to come home and see her laying on the couch and the kids are covered in spaghetti. And, you know, I understand little kids, things happen. And Sarah, man, she kept our house perfect. And she still keeps a very good house. But when kids come in the picture, it's never perfect. And it won't be. Amen? She'll make it perfect, Brother Isaac, and come in the room and we'll talk or go sit on the couch. And next thing you know, we hear crash. Stuff happens. I get that, but I'm talking about complete laziness and then overboard. These are imbalances. These are imbalances in a home and things that cause problems. The bed's never made. Everything's just disorderly. And God's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of disorder. And it ought not to be that way in a home. Amen? And so, you do the best you can with what you have, the time you have, and then spend time with your husband. And husband, understand, especially if she has kids, little ones, that she's done the best she can. Amen. If dinner's not exactly done, amen, have a little patience. You cook dinner and stay home. Amen. If he wants to prop his feet up on the coffee table, you have two options. One, you can nag him about putting his feet up on the coffee table after you just cleaned it. Or two, you can go take his shoes off and prop them up there for him. Those are two different attitudes, amen? Which direction? All right, I'm going to move on past that one. Let me give you maybe one. Now, I'm going to try to finish this. We'll run through it, okay? Because I don't know if we can handle another week of this. All right, number two, the second imbalance in a home is children. Children. You say, what are you talking about? God created the woman because the man needed her, not because the children needed her. Now understand what I'm saying. The children have needs. They have constant needs. But God created the woman for the needs of the man to meet his needs. And there's too many homes that child is the 100%, all the attention goes to the child. And he is neglected. And that is an imbalance in the home. You know what happens in that home? Here's a scenario for you. They're married for 20 years. After the 20 years, the kid grows up, graduates from high school, maybe graduates from college, and moves away. They look at each other, and they don't know one another, and they get a divorce. And then she goes and makes him or her and their spouse miserable in their marriage for 20 years. Why? Because it's all about that child. God gave you a child to raise and to send out, and he gave you a husband or a wife till death do you part. Thank God for the child. Raise them right, send them out, and then go right back to who God puts you with. I've seen it time and time again. The kids grow up, they move out, and you've seen it too. They grow up, they're gone, and they look at each other, and they don't even know one another. Why? It was all about those kids. completely neglected their relationship. Don't get me wrong, kids have to be taken care of. I understand that. But a lot of mamas choose their kids over their husband on a regular basis. And that's a sad thing. She doesn't know her husband. She doesn't know how to be alone with him other than for a short period of time. And that's a sad place to be in. Children will be around for a short period of time. Marriage is until death do us part. All right, number three, some imbalances in the home is the appearance. The appearance. You say, what are you talking about? Why do you dress the way that you do? Do you do it for attention from other people? Do you do it because it makes you feel comfortable? Or do you do it because it pleases him? Do you wear what you wear because it pleases him? You say, well, I'm not going to dress that way. I want to be comfortable. Okay, well, you're not right with God. Amen? I knew this one wouldn't be popular either. I'm comfortable. Or I want to see how many likes I can get on. That's all the wrong reasons. Your appearance ought to be to please your husband. And if he says, I don't want you wearing this and I would like you to wear this, then that's what you do. Why? It's to please your husband. Amen? Number four, money and security. There can be an imbalance in the home when it comes to money. When it comes to attitude about money. A lot of marriages, man, the disaster maybe not be in the appearance. It might not be in the children. It might not be in the keeping of the home. But man, when money gets tight, it is a battlefield in that home. Why? Because she spent some money over here on something that she thought was important, and he thought it was dumb. Right? Vice versa. They're tight on money. He goes and spends money on something. And she's like, I don't know why you got that. He's like, I needed it. You needed a new shotgun? Yes. And she's like, we're struggling, but bro. Amen. That's an imbalance in the home. Say, what are you getting at? I'm talking about when things are going to get hard. And they're going to get worse. This is just a little commercial here. I've told my wife that every time she buys groceries to start buying canned food with it, just some kind of canned food, and put it in the garage. You say, why? Because the shelves are already getting bare. And I might go to the grocery store one day and can't buy something. And what are you going to do? I got canned food. Just trying to use some wisdom. Amen? Things are going to get tight. They're going to get hard. And you got to use wisdom. And wife, if he wants to, you know, go buy something foolish, you got to give it to God and say, Lord, I married an idiot. But Lord, you know he's an idiot. I know he's an idiot. God, would you protect me? Because I'm just going to follow him anyway. Amen? And so, but everybody in this room that's married or been married, you know that money can be a big imbalance in a home. It's a constant problem. Number five, the in-laws. Amen, the in-laws. They can be a problem in a marriage. Amen. The wife, the husband, both, they cannot follow, listen, and obey their parents when it comes to their home. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking mom and dad for advice. I mean, they've been through it. Nothing wrong with that. But I know a lot of homes that every time something goes wrong, she runs back to mom and dad. And mom and dad didn't marry the idiot. They're with you. He's an idiot. They didn't marry him. And whenever you get it worked out and go back, they're still fuming. And I'm telling you, it causes major, major imbalances in a marriage. My husband said, this is what I need to do. Well, your husband's an idiot. We've already established that. But you go tell her or him, mom or dad, about all these things that he's doing. I heard an illustration just today I just heard about this today. I was studying that. I said, thank you, Lord. This is a real-life illustration where a mother-in-law lived with the husband and her daughter, and they would come home, and she's going through all their mail. And she's like, what's this charge right here? And this limp-wristed man was like, I don't know what to do about it. Well, tell her if you're going to live under my roof, leave my mail alone. Amen? That's not going to happen. If you ever come live with us, that's probably not going to happen either. But if you do, how many of you have heard of problems with that in a marriage? I mean, it's a major problem. It goes the same with a man. He has a problem. He goes running back to mommy and daddy. Yeah. And then they try to work it out. Well, guess what? The in-laws don't work it out. Daddy wants to take a shotgun and go down and shoot the idiot. Right? But then you guys get back together, and it could be an imbalance. Well, I just don't know why he's doing it that way. Well, guess what? Don't go tell your mom and dad about it and just say, Lord, you know about it. The last one I have is outside activities. What do you mean? Well, I got to have my girl time. There's marriages that are this way. Now listen, if they got friends and there's time, I mean, if the husband's okay with it, everything's great, then praise the Lord. But there's some homes where we're working out time, and girl time, and shopping time, and spa time takes away from husband time. And as soon as he walks in the door, she's got to go have her time. And you say, what is that? That's an imbalance in the home. Major imbalance. All right, can you put my picture up? People are visual. They need flashing lights. So here's an illustration of a balanced, we talked about an imbalanced home. This is the illustration of a balanced home. Homemaking, children, appearance, money and security, in-laws, outside activities. But the center and the reason why she does all those things around here is for him. I started off with tonight, husband, you need your wife. And wife, you're to be his helpmeet. That's how this whole lesson started off tonight. You can leave that up there just for the rest of the service, but I'm finishing up. If a man is the center of a woman's life, if he's the center, now, there's always exceptions to this. You understand that, right? There's always exceptions, but you still do what you're supposed to do. But if he is the center of that life, it's not the children, it's not the home. All those things are important. The in-laws, they're still a part of the family. Amen. All those things are still a part of this whole evolving thing that is a home, but he needs to be the center for a wife. Because you could lose a home. The home could be gone tomorrow. Some homes you walk into and you wonder when the tornado came through and how there's no outside damage. But you could lose a home tomorrow, but that marriage is supposed to be till death. You could lose a job and money tomorrow. You could lose a child. I've seen people put their kids ahead of even God. And that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about putting ahead of your children, putting children ahead of your husband. But I've seen people put their children even above a God, and God just takes the child. That's a scary place to be. A child will grow up. At some point, they're going to break your heart. They might get it right. They might not. Who knows? They'll break your heart. They'll leave. They'll be gone. And your husband's the one that's still standing there. But if you put everything into that child and they break your heart and they leave, then you have nothing left anymore, and he's not good enough. All these things that are in this circle are all important in a home, every one of them. And wife, you have a tremendous responsibility. He is supposed to love you and protect you and provide for you. He goes out and does that. You have to manage all these things. You have to manage the children. You have to manage keeping the house. You have to manage his mother. You got all these things you're juggling. But guess what? God made you to do that. You say, I can't handle it. God made you to handle it. He didn't make a man to handle some of those things. He made the man to go out and work and to provide and to protect and to love. He made you to be a helpmeet. And so there's cases where men do not get the attention and they go out looking for another woman. It happens all the time. And I want to just clue you in here for just a second. Not in most cases, not all the cases, but most cases, that man is out looking for another woman, not just for sex. He's trying to find somebody that will respect him, that will listen to him, that will spend time with him. Because God created him to need a woman, not just for sex, but to need a woman, to need her attention, to need her to be there with him, to need her to say, thank you for going to work, to need her to say, I appreciate you taking care of our family. That's what he needs. And so if the attention is in any other direction, most times when husbands go out and there's another woman, it's just because they have somebody that actually they feel like this woman appreciates them. Now, let me say this. If a man does that, he's committing adultery, and that's a sin against God. It's not right. It's wicked, and he will not get away with that. I'm not condoning that, but I'm just trying to tell you tonight, ladies, that there is a woman out there somewhere that would love to have your husband regardless of how big of an idiot he is. There's somebody out there that would love to provide for him. You say, well, they don't realize how big of an idiot. I'm telling you. Have you met some of these airheads? Amen. There's somebody out there that is willing to just provide for him and would appreciate him. Amen? But man, you married her. You love her much as you love yourself. Well, she spends too much time with the kids. So, pray for her. Every time I'm home, she's up cleaning. Could be the other way. Try to look for the silver lining. Amen. Try to work on it together. Because she's not doing what because you're not the center of her world, which you should be. But if you're not, that doesn't give you the right to go out. That doesn't give you the right to step out. Go to Proverbs 31 and I'm finished. You know what a lost man does? A lost man searches for satisfaction and fulfillment in drugs, in alcohol. He tries to find something to fill a void where God's supposed to be. You know what some disgruntled husbands do? They try to find solace and purpose in the other woman. Proverbs chapter 31. When he gets home from work, he stinks. Praise the Lord. I promise you there's a woman somewhere that would love for him to come home stinky and sweaty. Why? Because he's taking care of the family. Proverbs 31. Look at verse number 11. We'll finish with this thought. You there? Say amen. All right, verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of what? What does that mean? I'll let you read into it. That's what it says. You know what it's saying, wives? He has no need to go anywhere else. He has no need to do anything different. Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil not vindictive, all the days of her life. And it doesn't, I say this all, I've been saying this for 5 years when I've been teaching this. It does not say if he does what he's supposed to do. I preach the same thing to the men. Love your wives. Provide for her. Protect her. Well, she's not doing what she's supposed to do. The Bible doesn't say only if she does what she's supposed to do. There are biblical grounds for divorce. There are. God hates divorce. He's against it. But there's biblical grounds for divorce. And I fully believe that. I'll argue with anybody over that. There's biblical grounds for somebody to divorce somebody else. And I believe I could prove it from the Bible, and I'm not backing up on that. I believe it. Amen? But she is not taking care of me the way that I'm supposed to is not one of them. He doesn't love me like he's supposed to. That's not one of them. Well, you don't understand. No, that's not one of them. At one point or another, you loved one another, or thought you did, and got married and said, I'll do till death do us part. Wife, make sure that none of these things are the reason why that doesn't work out. Husband, make sure you do everything in your power to make sure she knows she feels loved, protected, and provided for. Amen? The Bible doesn't, all these verses doesn't say if the other person does what they're supposed to. None of that says that. It just says you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. Imbalance in the home. May we have a home that's balanced. What does God like? A just weight. He doesn't want something that's cattywampus. And he wants both parties doing what they're supposed to do. Sometimes that doesn't happen. You say, what do I do? Do what you're supposed to do. Amen? Give it to God. I preach Sunday. He knows you. And I'll say it again just for the ones that need to hear it. He knows your husband's an idiot. Amen? He knows that. I'm not going to say that about any of the ladies. Amen? Just like I'm not going to tell the ladies who's the older and the younger in our class we're coming up. I'm not doing that. All right, I'm going to finish. All right, let's all stand. So Lord willing, I'm going to continue on the home on Wednesday nights. Next week, Brother Daniel Waters will be here, but I'm going to continue on the home on Wednesday nights. And we're going to start looking at different aspects of the home. We've dealt with the men. We've dealt with the women. We're going to look at some children raising and some things like that, love in the home and different things like that we're going to begin to look at here real soon. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Brother Carl, would you dismiss in a word of prayer?